3, 2, 1.
I see assholes like you every day.
James Brayshaw.
Every day.
Billy Brownless.
Is this moron number one?
Me and me mate were sword fighting last night.
Put moron number two on the phone.
Oh no, what's happening to you?
What the hell is wrong with you two?
Everybody's working overtime.
Listening to the Rush Hour.
Triple M.
Feel good.
Oh, we feel good. Of course we feel good. We're a part of a magnificent city, a magnificent radio station, a magnificent show.
That's it, Jim.
Be brutally honest, Wayne Carey in here.
Yep.
Next.
Ooh.
The big man.
Good.
And ready to go. And been saying plenty, too, about Dusty Martin, among other things.
Yeah, he has.
He doesn't care, Bill. Just calls it as he sees it, which is why we love him at Triple M Footy.
That's right, Jim.
And then, second hour, Josh Gibson, the Gib.
Gibbo.
Oh, now this man's retired. With an incredibly good resume.
Yeah, very much.
And now just going to go and ride horses and wear chaps and cowboy
hats. What's it called? Draft camping
camp
or
drafting.
Something.
He's all gone weird on us.
What is
so we need
on?
To find out what Gibb's up to as well, but he's a star. So two big names, always big names on this show. Hello to you, Bill.
Hello, little wee man. Hello, listeners. And g'day you, Leroy.
It's going to get desperate. Yes, she got up.
That was Winks. That was Winks in the last 10 metres. Reminds me of the Rick McIntosh, the great caller down there at Warrnambool. You're going to love bloody the bull. Try and find that, can you? Rick McIntosh.
Yes.
But Collingwood is in no hurry to make a call on Nathan Buckley, says Eddie Maguire today on the Hot Breakfast, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a board meeting tonight. They'll go through that, and then they'll make a decision next week.
Yep.
So, I'm not sure. I can't
read
that.
I think
he might go, Jim. That's only mine.
Jeez, because you changed on that.
I have.
He was going to stay.
Exactly. But just the last 2 weeks, I've been reading the tea leaves.
Have you?
And I reckon he might go, Jim.
Right.
And I would not know, by the way.
Okay.
A sun burns bright for Rising Star nomination. He's not a bad player, this Ben Ainsworth. Jim, he goes all right.
Yep.
It's been good this year, so good luck to him. Pick number 4. Lions desperate to avoid wooden spoons, says Dane Beams.
Yep.
Playing some good footy. Of course, take on North Melbourne, Jim. Now, everyone's talking about tanking, which we know it doesn't happen anymore, Jim.
No.
But people are talking about tanking this week.
Well, I don't really understand it, Bill, because there's no standout in this draft.
No.
There's no one player that is head and shoulders better than anyone else.
You're right.
So from all of the recruiters I talk to, first, second, third, fourth even, are all throw a blanket.
Yep.
And I know from North Melbourne's point of view, Bill, that that club, and I've obviously been attached to it for 10 years, wear as a badge of honour the fact that in the modern era, the draft era, they've never finished last and had the number one overall pick. So they will be doing everything in their power to make sure that doesn't happen.
And Brad Scott will want to win.
Of course.
And Brisbane Lions will.
So will the Fagan Brisbane Lions combination.
So you know what I've been thinking about?
Yep.
I actually heard this and I liked it.
Go on.
Whoever wins the game gets first pick.
Yeah.
That turns it around. So whoever wins the game between North Melbourne and Brisbane, they get first
pick.
Yeah,
well, they have started talking about it. I don't think there's been, in this season, any whiff of any of that.
No.
You watch the Brisbane Lions and the way they're going about it. I watched them on the weekend against Melbourne. There was no hint that they were trying to manufacture anything. If you watch North Melbourne, they've just been, you know, overrun by good sides back half of the year.
Tried.
But they've had a crack.
They've
been up at half time. So I don't see any of that, Bill.
All right, then. Speculation on the future of out-of-contract Adelaide star Jake Lever has intensified, Jim.
Oh, yes.
Because he does a weekly a report over there, a radio station 5AA.
Yes, yes.
So he's on with Bix and Stephen Rowe. Bix will put him to sleep.
5AA, so nice, boring.
Yeah. But he said, no, I'm not doing any more. That's it for the year.
Oh.
Not coming on anymore, boys. So I tell you what, he's under pressure and he's still playing good footy.
He is.
And that's what he got to like about Josh Kelly, under the pump, everywhere he goes.
14 possessions.
Dusty Martin,
Dusty been amazing.
Everywhere he goes, he's asked. But they're still getting plenty of the ball,
I think,
Jim.
That's what's happening with the modern player, Bill. They're happy to absorb that scrutiny and still get the job done on field, which is amazing.
Ben Simmons, I told you I saw him Sunday night and met his lovely dad, Dave. Remember, big Dave played for the Tigers, Melbourne Tigers. Well, he's gone to just a local suburban court the other day, Jim, basketball game, and he lined up. He actually played. One of his close mates brought him down for a game just to fill in. No one in the stadium knew him until about the five-minute mark.
When they realised how good he was.
It was. You know what he had? He ended up playing, Jim. He had 34 points for the night, only tried in the last quarter, had 17, and they won. He's played for the whole game.
I reckon we spoke to Chris
Golding
about this exact thing. Remember we were talking about Joe Ingles being back in town Paddy Mills?
Yeah.
And I said, what if they just wandered down to a 3-on-3 somewhere and just started joining in, you know?
This is out
of basically what he's done.
Greensboro.
Yep.
But he's played the whole game.
Amazing.
I don't know if his American side would like that, Jim.
No idea.
And this one, this is sad, Jim. The West Indies, now this is the headline, sadly, the West Indies cricket team is the worst test side I have ever seen, written by Jeffrey Boycott. Yeah. Now,
who has got the ability to be negative, by the way.
Very much. Worst test team he's ever seen in 50 years, Jim. They can't bat, they can't bowl, they have no spinner. And the first test, England, 8 for 514, England.
Yep.
West Indies all out 168, all out 137.
Yeah.
So that is a... Because they used to be great teams, didn't they?
They've fallen away badly. They've become dominant. Well, not dominant, but they've become reliant on short-form cricket. T20 cricket, mainly.
T20, yeah.
And so, therefore, the more resources and the more importance they place on that, the more their test cricket just falls away to the point. Well, we saw them out here.
Yeah, terrible.
That test series they played out here two years ago, they were appalling.
What's happened to Cale Braithwaite? Remember the name. Cale Braithwaite.
It's Carlos.
Carlos, man, was it?
They are all over the place.
Did you get that audio?
How bloody good is the bull?
There he is. That was during a race. Yep. I love his call. Good on you, Ricky boy.
We need to get to a break because Wayne Carey's going to join us next on the Rush Hour. Yes, thank you very much. We have got the king in here, Wayne Carey. Always good to have him talking AFL footy with us.
Oh, yes.
Of course, Triple M's finest. And we need to speak Jesse Hogan to start with, Duckers. We welcome you. Six straight from the man, and geez, he looked sharp.
Mm. Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. I tell you what, he was unbelievable, wasn't he? And he did look sharp. Given that when he came back from his hamstring, he obviously struggled a little bit, Billy, and then he did the shoulder, but he looked lighter.
Mm.
He looked really sharp. And I tell you what a tough year. I don't know whether you heard the comments from Mark Robinson last week saying he wasn't worth the money and this and that. Talking about a bloke that's lost his father. He's had cancer. He's had a hamstring.
Mm.
He's done a collarbone.
Broken collarbone. Yeah.
And now he's come back and now people are saying, oh, how good's... tell you what, he's a good kid. He's a little bit different. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. And let's not forget, he won the NAB Rising Star. He kicked 44, I think 41 in his second year. And this is his third year of AFL footy.
Yep.
He's still a kid learning the game. But he's now their X factor, isn't he?
He is.
If he can have a massive final series with Pedersen, and I reckon they've got to get Jack Watts back in that team as well. I think Pedersen and Watts can most certainly play in the same team. So they might be a little bit of a sleeping giant within the eight.
Watts definitely benefits from having Hogan in the same forward 50, no doubt about that. Tell me, he looks to me, Duck, as if he is an instinctive footballer, Jesse Hogan.
Yep.
Some footballers, work the angles and are very disciplined. I think of Drew Petrie as an example of that, someone who absolutely does what he should do. Jesse Hogan just looks to me like he just reacts to whatever's coming at him, and that is so dangerous.
Yeah, it is. It is, because it makes it difficult for a defender because you don't know, as you said, if you've got a player that does a similar thing most times, then you know exactly what they're going to do. And no, he's the one thing he is, and that's he's a very, very good mark above his head, Bill. He's a good contested mark, and they are worth their weight in gold. The Bulldogs won a grand final because Boyd was able to take, I think, six or seven contested marks in that grand final. That's why they won it.
And
so they are a massive.
He
massive
reads
attribute.
It well. Hey, interesting that coming back from a hammy struggle. Jack Watts has struggled since he come back from a hammy, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Mm. And look, there are a lot of people out there, and Jack's put up with this his whole career, really. I'm a believer. He finished in the top five best and fairest. I think he finished fourth last year, had a great year. He's definitely in their best side. He can play forward, he can play back, he can play through the middle of the ground.
Yep.
And the one thing about Jack Watts, 10 possessions, every single one of them will hit the target and they'll be used perfectly well.
Beautiful in front of goal too. Yep. Now, your comments on talking footy, Dusty Martin, basically saying you reckon he's a great player, but 1.5 is too much for the Kangas to pay.
Well, I've been saying all along, and his manager, Ralph, actually sent me a message saying thanks very much.
Yep.
Because I've been saying all along, at the end of the day, you're worth what someone's prepared to pay, Bill.
That's
so
right.
If someone's prepared supply to pay
1.5,
you're worth 1.5. What I was saying last night was it is a lot of money to give one individual, and how, does that then restrict you later on to pick up other players 3-4 years down the track because of that amount of money? Is a player worth that amount of money? I guess if you've got it, why not? And the Kangaroos seriously need some quality. We know Cunnington, Zeeble,
hard,
Guns,
hard.
Swallows towards the end. But, a real X factor like Dusty Martin would be a huge inclusion. And
have they got it, Jim? They got the money there?
Oh, yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
And the new increase in the salary cap's given them even more of a buffer than they had. I think they've been I was attached to it at the time. Very, very astute in what they had paid that list. So they weren't overpaying blokes when they were finishing in prelims. So it's given them a nice war chest, to use the modern word, to afford a player of this type.
And let's not forget, and people, you know, talk about loyalty, and Richmond have been very good to Dusty Martin. And I'd argue now, if he wins the Brownlow medal this year, they finish in the top four, they have a crack at winning a premiership. I'd argue, like Dangerfield in Adelaide, he's given Richmond everything he's got. So he's entitled now to look after his future. It's a business decision. And if that means go along and, you know, pick up an extra $300 a year over 7 years, that's over $2 million for that amount of time. But it's a lot of money to say no to, isn't it?
But I reckon he stays. They've worked him out. He's worked Richmond out.
Totally agree with you, Bill. I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
In terms of a football decision, to go to a whole new club, meet new people,
hard for
them
Dusty.
To get to know Dusty. He's a shy, quiet kid, great footballer. To sort of have to redo all of that, like starting school again, would that be good for his footy? Yeah. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter because he's going to get the money, but would it be the best thing in terms of his football career to stay at Richmond? I think it would be. I'd love to see him stay at the Tigers. You know, obviously, I'm a North Melbourne person, but just for him as a person and as a footballer, even though he won't get as much money, I'd just love to see him stay at the Tigers.
Well, history tells us 85% of the time, I reckon, the incumbent club hang on to the player.
Yep.
And often when they don't, it's because of the go-home factor. That's not the case here. We will see. We need to keep talking with you, Duck, because there's lots to discuss, including Jake Stringer.
Yes.
What happens to him, Bill?
What happens to him? And Fremantle, I want to ask you, how bad are they?
All right.
Just hold it, hold it. Hold on to your peppy.
More with Wayne Carey next on The Rush Hour.
Welcome back to The Rush Hour. Thank you very much, Leroy. You're doing a good job there. Hit the right buttons. We've got Wayne Carey, the superstar here. Now, Duck.
Yep.
Fremantle. How bad are they travelling at the minute? Two 104-point losses. They've had I know they won a few games there during the middle of the year, but they've had a shocking year.
Yeah, their last 2 weeks has been, you know, pathetic, really. Yep. But prior to, like you said, in the middle part of the year where they strung some wins together, you sort of thought, well, you know, the rebuild, which, you know, they've clearly said that that's what they're embarking on, and Ross Lyon's never really probably had a rebuild. Mm. And you thought it was on track, and now all of a sudden it's probably been derailed a little, and it really is really pathetic.
Yeah.
So they've got a lot of work to do. Their forward line is really bad. They really need a key forward. And so understand them throwing a lot more money at McGovern from Adelaide, obviously being a Perth boy.
But they got McCarthy and they got Kirsten.
Yeah, well, McCarthy hasn't been great, obviously. Kirsten, not great. Mm. So if you look at, you know, champion data, other sort of special sort of comments, people like look at that more often than I do. But if you look at champion data, not too many. I think they've got one forward, Billy, that ranks above average in that forward line. Yep. So they haven't been able to replace the great Matthew Pavlich. You know, even their smaller forwards like Ballantyne, Walters, these guys, they've had injuries and haven't had, you know, full season. So
is Ross Lyon the man?
He's not going anywhere, Bill.
You don't reckon?
No, he's signed a long-term deal. Look, it's never good losing, you know, two games by that sort of margin, but I don't think Ross is going anywhere in the near future.
100-point losses have a significant impact to footy clubs, Duck, especially when you have two in a row.
Two in a row.
They do, but I think when there's still, three or four years to run on a coach's contract, I'm not sure too many clubs are rich enough to say, okay, we'll see you later and get a new
Schimmelbusch
one.
Schimmelbusch got sacked on the back of
Duck was playing.
You got
that was the last pre-season game.
That was and that was in a pre-season game against Adelaide, and I think Modra kicked 10 on Mick.
not Mick's fault.
Yeah, no, not, but it wasn't Mick's fault. Somehow that wasn't Mick's fault. Can you believe it?
Hey, Jake Stringer, what do the Western Bulldogs do with this young talent? Jason Dunstall talking about the fact that maybe they need to look at a trade. What are your thoughts? Where does he fit into what they're about?
He's a little bit lost, Jake. And look, we know that he's had injuries this year as well. But even before he got injured, his form wasn't great. When he kicked 50 odd goals,
All Australian.
I think 2015 All Australian, he had Dixon there who also kicked goals. He had Cramery next to him as well. So you know he had support around him, and at times he was getting the third, fourth best defender. And I think that's what he needs. But he's just fallen into a trap of thinking, you know, running back towards goal a lot, not coming up to the footy at times. And you know, that's a confidence thing as well. That's not wanting to be that main target. Loves jumping over the back of a pack. I have not seen him in front of too many packs wanting to be that marking target. So, you know, he's got some work to do. I'm one of those guys. I don't really, and I know we speculate a lot in this industry, but I don't want to see him leave. I wouldn't like the Bulldogs to trade him.
No.
I'm not, unless the Bulldogs sort of got something worth, really worthwhile, you wouldn't look at it. You'd want to think, and I'm tipping that Beveridge would think that a good pre-season, he can turn this kid back into an All-Australian forward. And I tend to agree. Mm.
The thing, when I look at him, Duck, if I think about it in the cricket sort of analogy of a fast bowler, he looks to me like he's got a ripping outswinger, a ripping bouncer, a ripping Yorker. But when you get up into, you know, really, and you're bowling against really good first-class players, you got to get it disappearing over the top of off-stump at 145 Ks, 10 out of the 12 balls you bowl. That's how you get good players out. The rest of it is just for show.
I
see with him is he's doing all the show all the time, and that's why he's not getting good players out. You got to get back to just disappearing and into the keeper's gloves and building the pressure, and that's how you get good players out. And I don't know if that fits this bloke, but that's what I see.
No, I couldn't have said it any better. If you want to relate that back to cricket, that's exactly what he does. He can do the spectacular, has to do the basics really, really well. And I think the best freakish players, take Gary Ablett Senior out of it. I reckon our most freakish players in the history of the game since I've been watching, they don't fumble, they don't make mistakes, they do the basics really well, and then all of those extra things are just cream on the top. So it's Billy's looking at my phone ringing there, and it's
Chloe
from The Age. It's one of my bosses, Bill.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's the old, of course it is. I met Chloe.
It's Chloe from The Age.
The bot.
Look at he is an idiot.
Yes, I did, Duck.
Do you want me to?
No, it's all right. Hey, did you play cricket? Did you play any other sports, or are you just one of those blokes good at footy?
There are people out there that, there are a few Chloes out there, Bill.
I met one.
Yeah.
No. Wayne, before you get into any more trouble.
Were you good at any other sports?
Was I good? I know where you're getting this
basketball?
From, Bill. I've scored a century in cricket, and I could bowl, and I could field, and I can water ski, and I can do all of those things, and ski on one. I can wakeboard, and
I'm about as good as you, Bill.
Play tennis.
Well, most footballers are good at tennis or golf or cricket, and I'm not sure if Duck's good at any other sport. He's one of those just good at footy, and that's it.
I'm not great at all of those things, Bill, but probably better than the average man,
and probably better than you. We're going to get someone on. We're going to get someone on to speak about you.
Well, Duck didn't play for Essendon. First grade, like I did. I played tennis, singles champion.
I scored a century for Keilor Forth while I was playing for the Kangaroos.
You just would have slogged ball.
Won a handball competition at North Wagga Primary.
Handball.
Backstroke champion at North Wagga Primary.
Front page, all those frothies on the front page there all time.
We need to let you go and
you know what? He's an idiot.
See Chloe from The Age. Good to see you, Duck. Okay. Thanks for dropping by. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
G'day, Mark Howard here. A year ago, I started the Howie Games podcast, which has given me a fantastic opportunity to chat with some of the biggest names in world sport. At times, the episodes can be pretty raw, like Lane Beachley talking about coming to terms with being an adopted child.
And, you know, it's our thoughts that create how we feel about something. You know, our thoughts lead to emotions and actions, and then those actions determine the results that you produce in your life. And I love to refer to the difference between having a victim mentality versus a victor mentality. And the victim mentality is a mentality of, I can't believe this is happening to me. I can't believe I was rejected at birth. I can't believe my own mother didn't want me. I can't believe that I feel, why have I been so abandoned, so rejected? I can't believe, this is not right. Right. And I don't know what to do about this. And that's the victim mentality.
That's the victim.
The victor goes, all right, I'm not going to go through this for nothing. I'm going to turn this into something positive.
You can listen to the Howie Games at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Hey, Jimmy boy, it's all happening over in the US of A, my friend, over there in America. They've just had their first full-blown solar eclipse to sweep the US from coast to coast since 1918.
Once upon a time, I was falling in love. You're falling apart.
Oh, no. A bit of the Dan Band.
Dan Band.
From old school.
We had the Dan Band in. He's very good. But that is a total full-blown solar eclipse, Jim.
Yes.
From coast to coast. Since 1918, even Donald Trump loved it.
Oh, Trumpy.
They've had a 12-month warning campaign not to look at the eclipse.
What without, is old Trumpy doing?
Without eye protection or glasses. So what does he do?
No,
he looks up at it and points at it.
Old fool's head.
Old fool's head. But I tell you what, it got a lot of people very, very emotional, Jim.
Yeah.
And have a listen to WGN TV's chief meteorologist, or weatherman, Tom Skilling, Jim,
right,
who was brought to tears.
We've been told people start sobbing. If for some, it's just a life-changing event. And we may start doing that, too. But I'll get my act together, guys.
Oh, come on, Tom.
Tommy.
That's a bloody eclipse.
Tommy.
It's eclipse, and Tommy's got emotional. But we all do have mates, Jim, that get very emotional at birthdays, at weddings, at Hall of Fames.
He's humble. He doesn't like talking about himself. He is the Don Bradman of our game. I'm sorry to get emotional, but I've lost it. Thank you.
Oh, Spud. But Spud does. And I think the older you get, Jim, the more emotional. And if you talk about your kids, you get very emotional.
Sam Newman said that that's a character flaw.
He did say that. He said that on air, didn't he? A character
flaw. That's a character flaw.
Oh, come on, Foss.
I love it. But I think
the older you get, Jim.
Glenn Archer.
Yes.
A great friend of ours. As hard and tough a man as I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Hopeless. Cries at the drop of it. Cries at an ad on telly.
He cries at the movies.
He does. It's just hilarious.
So hence, Jim.
Hence.
133353. Do you have a crybaby mate?
Yes.
Do you have a mate that just tears up at the drop of a hat, Jim?
All right, ring up. If you got a crybaby mate, why do they and when do they? Talking about men who cry.
Yes.
Because, of course, the weatherman.
Weatherman, Jim. Tom Skilling.
Over in the States talking about the total eclipse of the sun. Just teared up.
Teared up,
Jim. Ross is first. We want to know who and why. Ross is first out there in
Narre Warren. G'day, Roscoe. What happened?
Afternoon, boys. How are we?
Good, champ.
It was many years ago my father took me and my sister to go see the movie Air Bud.
Air Bud.
Air Bud.
Yeah, the dog that could play basketball.
Right.
And the little boy's telling the dog that he's free to go. You know, he's let him go to roam. And I looked over to my dad and he's crying like a baby.
Oh,
Dad. Come on, Pop.
How old were you?
I was probably maybe 8 or 9. But, you know, he was still pushing, you know, 30, 35.
And Dad's balling.
Dad's howling. Come on, Dad.
Come on,
all right,
Dad.
Brett's in Ferntree Gully. Bretty.
Hello, mate.
Good, Bretty.
Good. It's my wife and my eldest kid. They sit there and cry to Home and Away.
They do.
Home and Away.
Home and Away, yeah. Someone dies every second week. You wouldn't want to live in Summer Bay.
Not a good spot.
Stay there, Brett. That's good. Nick in Eltham. Hello, Nick.
How you go, mate?
All right, where does, who and where?
Well, my brother-in-law, every time he watches Collingwood play.
Because they get beaten.
Yeah.
He would have on Sunday, because they were good for the first quarter and then terrible.
They were. He came over and watched the Collingwood Essendon game a few weeks ago and he was not happy.
No, I get that. Yeah. Adam's in Doreen, Ads.
Oh, good on you, Ad.
G'day, boys.
Excellent. What do you got for us?
I'm an old man. He's at his old age, 51 now. Every time he watches the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze, that last scene at the very end, mate, I'm telling you, he tears up and cries like an absolute baby.
Did you say anything to him?
Oh, mate, I get into him every time. Tusky.
That's funny.
Come on, Dad.
Come on, Pop. Sonny in Cranbourne North. Sonny?
Sonny.
How's it going, lads?
Good, Sonny.
We've got a mate. So in our group, there's about 6 of us that have been married already, including myself.
Yeah.
He's been my best man. And every single wedding we've had, he goes onto the bridal table when everyone's dancing, and then he's sobbing away. So I won't mention his name, but... Lance Baptist. Thank you.
Come on, Lance. So what's he do? Go to the bridal table and starts
bridal
crying.
Bridal table while everyone's dancing and then has a sook.
That's funny.
Oh, come on.
We love him.
Come on, Lance, a lot.
So they're all married, Jim, all happy.
That's it.
We'll give him 10 years,
and then he'll be crying for another reason. James in Wallen. Hello, Jim.
Jim.
Jim and Ted, how are you?
Good, Jim. What do you got for us?
A little while ago, a bloke on Neighbours died.
and me mate started crying like a little kid.
Oh, he did not.
That's funny.
He did. He did too. He was with me.
Jeez, on Neighbours.
He did. Yep.
Wowee.
All right, Pete's in Edith Vale. Hello, Pete.
Yes.
Hi, James. Hi, Billy.
Hey, Pete.
I'm going to dob myself in for crying. I'll be sitting down watching anything on TV and I sort of like start making like a cane toad sort of noise and my wife and son look over to me and there I am just absolute bawling.
No. What kind of a noise do you make?
Oh, it's like a sort of sound and they just pick it straight away. Oh. They give up.
So what, over Home and Away and Neighbours?
Over anything, Bold of the Beautiful. Like last night on Game of Thrones, I cried and yeah. Just
what, when the dragon got shot down?
No, when I went dragon, I thought when Jon Snow, when they held hands, like an easy and...
What, at the end?
Yeah, I fell into tears, mate.
Oh, fair Jim.
That is Jon Snow.
Jon Snow nearly died. He comes, wakes up, and there she is, the old dragon woman. They hold hands.
Very nice.
That wasn't a crying type
thing,
Pete.
Well, I wouldn't have thought. No.
And Margaret's there. G'day, Margaret.
Hi, Billy. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Who cries, Del?
My husband. Oh. He's shocking. Reality TV. The Voice. The Biggest Loser, as soon as they start talking about their journey, it's on.
Oh, that's too good.
He does not.
That is
He swears and turns the telly off and then that's it. Yep.
What do you do, Margie?
Just laugh. What else can you do?
Reality TV, The Journey.
How good.
The Biggest Loser, I was 150 pounds.
How good.
Oh, and they cut my arm off.
Bill, I must admit, I do every now and then.
When?
And I did the other day, I was recounting the story of the sweep the floor, the All Blacks.
Richie McCaw, the skipper.
And I read this amazing piece about how a journalist from the England actually followed him around for 3 or 4 months. And Richie McCaw, the captain, they'd finished a test match, won the game, got out of the rooms, onto the bus.
Yep.
He went and got him back off the bus, back into the room to make sure that the room was spotless. Because he said, it's no one else's job to clean up after us. Yeah. You blokes get off the bus and cut. And I started crying.
Oh, no.
And Lisa's sitting there looking at me going, are you crying? I'm like, I don't know why I am. I just am.
I'm telling you, the older you get.
I know.
And then that movie Australia gets me every time, Jim.
Well, even though you've only watched it once.
I only watched it The little fella. What's his name? And he nearly gets killed, Jim.
Oh, I love it. We're just talking about crying, of course. And the most public and the most famous version of it recently was our man Spud when he got up the Hall of Fame to introduce his great mate Plugger and got about 8 words in. And then couldn't go anymore.
Yep.
At the time, on the footy show Thursday night after that happened, we played that vision and Sam Newman described it as a character flaw.
Character flaw. He said so that, did he?
We then got the old enforcer on the Saturday rub back in the day. Ever listen.
The thing he got most upset about was you describing him as having a character flaw.
Hey, Dr. Tenny, that is
my mother. Daddy. My mother is still in tears, Sam, on this one.
Your mother is a wonderful, powerful woman. I had that written down. You know how I can't remember my name. I had it all written down by the people who run the show, and they said, I said, I don't think I should say character. Thank you.
So then, he then tried to dissect exactly who was responsible for it.
And JB said, I had nothing to do with it.
Nothing.
He said, all Fossil was worried about...
Gary is about as sincere as Liz Taylor saying ouch on a wedding night.
He's trotted that old chestnut out.
Oh, no. Foss with the old one, Jim.
Oh, you can't believe it. Anyway, now, Bill, we've got some social media. Do we want to do that after the news? Jilly, are we running sort of too late? Do you want to do social media?
No, we're down to three here, Jim. You find a winner.
I just did, we're at the top of the hour, Bill. We're running a bit late.
That's all right. We get in late. Number three goes to Josh Baker, Jim.
Yes.
I cried when Bill dropped the Game of Thrones spoiler.
Oh, what was that?
Well, it was on last night, Josh. Get up with it. Number two from Chris McCarthy. Bill, spoiler alert. Just ruined Game of Thrones. Get stuffed, you two. It was on last night. Yep. Watch it when everyone else does.
That's it. Old Flog Brayshaw blubbed up when he decided he wasn't a batsman anymore. That was early on
in the piece. WA days.
Yeah, I was about to say. That was about 1987. But I like this one, Bill.
Yes.
Troy Williams at Troy 1980. I cry most afternoons at fat shit jokes.
He did. I haven't seen that one, Jim.
So, Bill, he wins.
Righto, he wins.
Nina and Pasadena Pack.
Nina and Pasadena Pack.
Big second hour, we always say it, Bill, but this one is a monster. Josh Gibson going to join us very shortly. Mm-hmm. Unbelievable career for North Melbourne and then, of course, with the Hawks. 3 premierships there.
Yep.
Best and fairest, all Australian, Everly, amazing stuff he did. So Well done to him, and he joins us, I reckon, in about 5 minutes' time. Before we do so, a bit of news.
Yes, indeed. The Kangaroos hit with a stack of key injuries ahead of the game this week, Jim. Now, tell me, Jack Zeeble, is he going to play?
He's only just got to the line last 2 weeks.
Goldstein?
Well, I don't know, Bill. I'm not there.
Braden Pruse.
Yeah, I know. Well, you need one of them to play. Otherwise, exactly. You're going in without a ruckman.
Well, they're all in doubt this week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Premiership Eagle calls it quits. Jim, do you know who?
Well, there's only one left.
Who?
Sam Butler.
Well done.
The man Nath Brown spoke about the other week.
And guess what he did when he came out with Adam Simpson and sat down for the presser?
What did he do?
In consultation with Simo, I'm pleased to announce...
Consultation.
Consolation, it says here. In consultation with Simo, I'm pleased to announce a 2-year extension.
Another gag there. That's it. Every retired player is going to go with that one, are they?
Do you know, Jim, I was sitting down with Ronnie and all the boys around where I sit, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
We worked out there's only 4 AFL clubs that don't have a premiership player on the list. Do you know who they are?
No, I don't.
Well, your club's one.
Oh, really?
You haven't got a premiership player on the list.
Boom Boom was the last, I guess. He retired, yep.
So there's one club. There's another 3.
Well, you've got to go back to who's... I was going to say Melbourne, but they've got Jordan Lewis.
That's right.
Essendon.
Essendon have got...
Kelly.
James Kelly.
Oh, yes.
Well done.
Kelly, righto.
You'd say St Kilda, wouldn't you? But he retired this year, but still on the list is...
Who? Yeah, Dempster.
There's Sean Dempster. Exactly right.
Yep.
So there's another
Richmond.
3. Rich... Good, Jim. They haven't got a premiership player on the list, Jim. Well done,
There's one. Who else?
2 more.
Adelaide.
Adelaide, another one, Jim. Well done.
Righto. Now I can't think of the last one.
Well, I think it's Port Adelaide.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They haven't got a...
No, they're probably not off the top of my head.
Paddy Ryder.
No.
So there you go. There's a good game
there
that
you
we
go, Bill.
Play
just,
live.
And people at home can play along.
They played along, and I bet you they've all... So if they can come up with another one, I'll give them a Nina Pasadena.
Trucker hat.
Yeah, exactly.
Righto.
So that's on social media. That's for the second hour.
Josh Gibson's going to join us next. Thanks. What are you doing, Fat?
I might have a spell.
Intermission.
And now, a message from our sponsor.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian Government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Now, back to Triple M's Rush Hour podcast.
Couldn't mark it off hands, mopped up his own work, gave it off here. Little one out the corner. Gibson's kicked the goal. Gibson's kicked the goal here. And he just milks the national TV time. Likes the spotlight.
How rare a bit of audio is that?
Kicked a goal.
A goal. I reckon 225 games he would have only been 3 or 4. How many, Gib?
There was 5, mate.
5 goals.
Two at the Kangas and 3 at the Hawks.
Which was your best one?
Don't mind my last game at North. Played in the midfield, kicked one, got 3 Brownlow votes, went home with the TV, mate. Yeah.
Got the telly. And then got the arse.
Yeah, decided to leave.
What happened there, Gibbo? Jim
exactly
says you leave, but...
Yeah, bug it off.
They, obviously, the contract, you were looking for a bit more money and they didn't give it to you.
Mate, I didn't really like playing as a tagger. I was playing as a tagger.
No, Jim, shut up, Jim. Let him go.
And, the opportunity came to play down back.
Yes.
And it sounded inviting, so I took it up.
And I think, looking back... Hindsight's a wonderful thing, Jim. This is a bloody good move.
Just take a bloke as a rookie, give him his
chance. 3 premierships.
Put 5 years into him.
Best and fairest.
I'm not saying any of this.
All-Australian, 3
Gibbs.
Premierships.
I'm not my own prejudice.
So I would
I'm going to park
that is
you
a very,
just for a second.
So looking back, that is a bloody good move, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's a hard move. Like, you know, to be fair, when I moved clubs, it wasn't like it is now. So, you know, there wasn't as much moving around and, you know, there was a lot of people, especially at North Melbourne Footy Club, that were pretty angry with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I made a decision on what I thought was best for my football at the time. And
well, yeah, as Bill said, a couple of best and fairest in premiership years, 3-time premiership player, all Australian. You've had a wonderful time, Gibbo. I reckon when you first got rookied, if you knew this was what your body of work was going to look like, you'd be pretty happy.
I would have just laughed at you, mate, if you had read that to me and said that that was going to be me, that little fat kid from Port Melbourne that that the Kangas took a chance on. So, look, I've been very lucky. You know, I've been able to play in some amazing games, have some tremendous success as a footy club in winning premierships, and it makes retiring a lot easier because you've reached the pinnacle.
You've been pretty low-key in it all, I reckon, in this last sort of 5 minutes, Gibbo. For a man who has enjoyed not being low-key over the journey, this last little bit, you've been quiet and was a very quiet retirement. You were just low-key about it all.
I think I've changed a bit, Jim.
You must have. What's happened?
No, just learned to just be more humble, just chill out a bit. But
And,
you know, to be honest, it's funny. I was thinking I didn't really want to have a press conference, and then I saw Hodges and... Yeah. Mate, I was a bit embarrassed as well, you know. I mean, I've played with so many champions that, you know, you don't see yourself in that light. And you know, look at the class of 2017 that's retired, you know. It's a weird experience.
But it's been a good ride, as you said. So, but it wasn't all easy. And we like talking to blokes like yourself that haven't made all the state sides and sides like that. And as you said, you're carrying a bit there at Port Melbourne, and someone took the chance on you, but you did it tough early days.
Yeah, I didn't play any, you know, I played Oakley Chargers in my last year. I'd finished school, so I studied a year of under-18s, but, you know, never Vic Carnival, never made any of the young Oakley sides. I actually ran into Dave Dunbar, who was the coach at Port Melbourne, at the footy on the weekend, and we're talking about, I was always a forward, and he said, we've got to get this little fat kid to the back line and make him run, and you know, that was the turning point where I started as a defender. So look, it's been a long journey, and you know, I always had a goal and I managed to get there, and that's what makes it that little bit more rewarding is the work I had to put in.
A couple of extra kilos you carried in the hair too when you had the Nordberg belt. Yeah. Oh, it was mate. Full gollywog.
But how good was that?
Yeah, well, it was my way of, you know, I'm an undersized defender. It gave me those couple of extra centimetres come measuring in day, and I've just gone off 189 centimetres my whole career, but no, I'm not near that.
He used to pop his head up out of the pool and spray everyone within a 15-metre radius.
Yeah, look, it was a lot of gollywog about that hairdo back in the day.
And some great battles. Your battles with Buddy, is that what you look back on?
Yeah, him, but mate, there's so many. Like, you think back to playing on the Favolas, Jonathan Brown, Bradshaw.
Bradshaw was a good player.
You know, there was a time there where I reckon a few of us at North were leading in the reverse Coleman, and you know, I got a lot of good learning lessons from playing on those guys. So, mate, there's been so many. It's hard to Nick Riewoldt's another one. It's hard to just say number one, but you know, I'm glad that I haven't had any of those goals kicked on me that we've seen Bud do running down the wing. I'm very, very happy that's not in my CV.
When he did it the other night, all I could think of was Carl Hooker saying, "Oh, here we go, don't kick it."
And it's all that'll happen.
Him
is
and
the replay.
Talia and Hooker are going to be having tea parties each year, reminiscing.
Now you were great mates with Bud. You're great teammates with Bud. And then when he went up to Sydney, how did you go on field against him?
Look, we've had some good battles. He's won some. I've won some.
Verbally.
I told him all my methods when I came to Hawthorn about how I like to talk to him and get his mind off the game. So that didn't work at all when we started playing against each other. But I guess I've been lucky, and even the times he's probably beaten me, we've ended up winning the game. So you can still walk away a little satisfied.
And Hodgie, what a superstar that man is. You've been able to watch him up close for a lot of your career.
Yep, absolute legend. That's, even though I retired the other week, that's why I wanted to stay around the club. I've still been training, and I really wanted to enjoy this last week with him. He was fantastic for my footy career, and as everyone's seen how good he is with the younger guys and his education. And, you know, it's very rare to play with players like that, so I wanted to spend as much time as I could with him.
And Alistair Clarkson too. We'll ask you about him. Just have a little think. We'll give you time for a little break.
Yes, and I want to ask him about what the hell he's thinking about going forward, because I'm worried about him.
Camp.
I've worried about him his whole life, Gibbo, but I'm
drafting.
Most concerned right now.
Our guest in studio, retired Hawthorn Premiership star Josh Gibson.
Yes, we have got Gibbo in here. Amazing career. Retired after 225 games. Best and fairest in Premiership years twice. All-Australian, three-time Premiership player. Done it all, Bill?
He has. Alistair Clarkson, how good of a coach was he for you, for your development, and just growing up, I suppose?
No, he was. He's been pivotal in my career, no doubt. You know, I was an average to good footballer at North Melbourne, but I reckon he took me to another level. And, you know, he always just backed you in to be yourself. And he's always analysing and thinking about ways to help you. At the start, it was tough living in the same suburb as him, because he'd call you up at 11 o'clock at night to show you some vision that he'd picked up of you at training. But, no, he always wanted to help me grow. And, you know, I'm very lucky that I've had him as a coach. And
give it to you?
Yeah, he's given me a couple. Yeah. In my first year, I didn't mind going out a little bit, and he gave me the old fit in or F off in front of the group. But,
yep.
Yeah, that's nice.
That was straight to the point, and we moved on.
Now, speaking of moving on, what are we doing now, Gibbo? Because you and I have known each other for the best part of 20 years, and you know that there is no man who's listening to this station, and there might be a million listening, who has wasted more money on horses than myself that can't win you any money.
Yes.
Now, you might have racehorse owners, Bill, who have spent millions, but there's a chance you'll get a return on that.
At least you can get something back.
Well, chance as finding money in the gutter out there.
Well, I know, but at least there is a slim chance that you can make money. But when you're talking about Australian stock horses and quarter horses and westerns, the sort of horses that camp draft, there is no return on that investment, Gib.
But it's a hobby.
Yeah, but what about the amount it costs you?
Well, it's not like equestrian. See, what happened is that you've had a lot of equestrian in your time and you've got your English saddles.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, and then and all those equestrian people, they need to have 20 different blankets on their horses, the cuts, the boots. It's a lot rougher.
Farriers, vets, loose boxes.
Well, so what is camp drafting? Because I got no idea. I saw a bit of a vision of it before, but explain to the people out there what camp drafting is.
You go into the camp, which is a rectangle arena first, small, probably like 20 by 10.
Tennis court size a bit.
Yep. There's like 7 head of cattle in there. You choose one, you cut it out.
You're on a horse.
Yep, ride it up to the front, and there's 2 men on a gate. You're controlling it at the front, pushing it back and forth, not letting it get back to the mob. When you're satisfied, you call gates, they open them, and you've got to ride it out through a figure of eight course and through gates. And a judge judges you on your camp, which is a start, and then you get a score for each peg and also your control if you get it through the gate.
So cutting one from the herd, Bill, something he knows a little bit about.
Oh, I just lay that up for
you. You did, didn't you?
I was actually reminiscing when I came in here thinking about JB and... You know, it took me back to when he used to call me the swordsman. And you know, my girlfriend at the time, someone convinced her to listen to the radio while being at the game. It was North Melbourne versus Richmond at the G. I remember it. And, you know, I got home that night and... So what's that radio commentator talking about? You're the swordsman and an array of mattress activity with a herd of women.
And, what did you say?
It wasn't the best talking point of my career, but we're still here.
I'll tell you what,
we've had a lot of fun.
Truth is my defence.
I know. We've had a lot of fun with him. He's given us a lot of fun, which was quite serious, when you fell over in the bathroom and hit your head.
That was very serious.
Very serious, and that's very true, that story.
But we had a lot of fun with
I'm
that,
sure
and Jim
did
too.
You're not the only ones.
Now, what's happening off-season, please? Because you were, again, one of the great off-season enjoyers. Where are we headed?
So... My schoolmates and I, Trinity, we are going to LA and Vegas for it's like the
last hurrah,
the final supper. Yeah, a lot of guys are having babies. And so we're going to LA. We've hired a land yacht, big truck limo to drive all 15 of us to Vegas.
Jeez.
Just light that town up for the weekend. And then I'll head over to Munich for Oktoberfest. Then come home. That's it. That's just my little touch. I want to save it for next year and go to Europe.
Right.
Be one of those people that put everything on Instagram in Europe when everyone's freezing in Melbourne. Exactly. One of those assholes.
That won't surprise any of us. And the beautiful Lucy still tracking square with far too good for you, by the way.
Yes. Look, still tracking well. Mm. Yeah, batting above my average.
It's been a while too.
I know, but that's
good. I think you're slowly falling in love and maturing and becoming a man.
Well, I've noticed that because I don't cop as much from JB. Yeah. So obviously I'm not giving him as much material anymore,
exactly,
you know, so I must be doing something right.
What will you miss about the great game and what won't you miss? Because I read there where you suffered from anxiety before a game and things like that. You won't miss that and the media.
No, I won't miss that. Like, the media wasn't a big thing for me. I'm lucky that, you know, I've been pretty lucky with the media. They've been pretty good to me. But the thing I will miss is, you know, you go to work every day with 46 guys. You get to stay fit. you train your ass off and you get to hang it on each other like in a schoolyard and you get those competitive juices flying. And that's the thing I'll probably miss, you know, when the boys start training again next year and, you know, you're going for a run around the town by yourself. and you're not smashing any bodies, you're just going for a jog, I'm sure that's when I'll miss it.
Well, Friday night, Jim, what about that?
6 years' time, you'll have your first reunion, and they'll keep coming, so you'll be able to catch up with all those blokes, which will be absolutely fantastic. Sorry, Bill, what were you talking
about? Friday night, Western Bulldogs, Hawthorn, yes. Etihad, 7:50. Final games for Luke Hodge, of course.
Yep, and Bob Murphy.
Yep. Matty Boyd, our man. Yes. Let's hope he gets a game, Jimmy Boyd. Exactly. And, of course, Joshua here.
Boydie and I thought about going to the coaches and just seeing if him and I can just square off in a pocket, just have a nil all draw, just stand there the whole night.
Are you going around on the back of an Audi ute?
At half time.
I'm sure that they'll pull out the beautiful Audi R8 down. Zagami's will get a car out there for me. And
at half time, you're going around?
Nice. Yeah, similar to the John O'Brien. I think he walked a lap. And
that's it.
I'll drive in a car.
Righto. And that's going to be the end of all of those celebrity endorsements too. You better get ready for that all drying up. Look, sucked in.
No, look, a fantastic relationship, as I said, with Zagami's. And I'm sure that that'll...
Will it?
For many years to come. Yeah, they're fantastic there at Melbourne.
Now that you're not playing anymore, they'll still
any horse mobs you can plug.
Look, there's plenty of
Stockland or whatever they're called.
Weather Beater, who provide me with great rugs for my horses.
Stock and Station or
Horseland.
That's it, Horseland. You've given us great value over the journey, Gib. You've had a great career. Well done with everything that you've done, and good luck with everything that's coming up.
Guys, I want to thank you both. As I said, some people have been amazing to me in the media, and you guys are one of them. I've thoroughly enjoyed hanging it on you guys and copping it as well. So thanks very much.
Well done. Come on, Jim, come up with something.
Oh, don't worry. Yeah, have a listen to this. What? Our man Tunnel Cliff.
Lucas,
of course, the producer formerly of this show until we tipped him out.
But also my new boss, Jim, at Footy Show.
Croc Media, Footy Show. Maguire Media and Bill.
Yep.
Also the Saturday Rub, Friday Night Huddle. So a man who's got his fingers everywhere.
Fingers in a lot of pies.
But Bill.
What?
His much, much, much better half, Amy. Beautiful lady, Amy. Yes. She used to fly with Qantas and flew us all around. She's a magnificent lady.
She used to be up the front of the boat.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Has just had their second baby boy.
Yes.
So they had Finn, of course. Now they got Jack.
Jack.
Now, Bill.
Yeah.
This is what happened. And I only just discovered this today.
Yeah.
This is old Snorkel Tunnel Cliff. He stayed at home when Amy went in to be induced. Mm. He stayed at home with Finn.
Yes.
So Finn's what, Finn 3 or something?
2 or 3.
Anyway, he stays home with Finn. Now, Ames goes in to be induced. Unfortunately, he took his eye off the ball, old nostrils.
And what?
Ames started, things started happening way too quick.
Delivering.
Bill.
Yeah.
He only just got in to see the actual delivery. Gee. Just arrived.
No excuse. You got to be.
Literally, as the baby was being presented, in came nose. Mm. Now, I don't think.
In came nose.
I don't think Amy's going to have bothered about that at all. In fact, I see for her that being a bonus.
Yeah.
But hence, how did you nearly miss the birth of your child?
Exactly.
Because, Bill, that's what he's done.
Blokes all around the world do it,
Jim. Just cock it up.
They're at the bar.
That's it. And just forget that I probably should get in somewhere near.
It's
133353. How did you nearly miss the birth of your child?
Come on, Snorkel.
Yeah, so our man Tunnel Cliff, having his beautiful second boy, well, Amy was doing all of that. He was doing bugger all. In fact, a lot of us think he did bugger all right back 9 months earlier. But Bill. He's
got his nose.
He's absolutely nothing. But anyway, comes time for Ames, who's done all the heavy lifting. She's in hospital. He decides to stay home with Finn, the 3-year-old.
Yeah.
And then realizes I better get into the hospital.
And just
Made it, Bill, as the baby was arriving.
Yep.
So 133353, we're getting you to call. How did you very nearly miss the birth of your child? Alison's first in Mulgrave, Bill.
Alison.
Hi.
How are you? I don't suppose you missed it, but what did dopey husband do?
Well, he wasn't so dopey. I got to the hospital. I was induced and it was quite late. So he was told, go home, get some good night's sleep. You guys are going to have a baby in the morning.
Yeah.
So he went home and I went into really heavy labour. They tried to contact him. He would have been fast asleep. You know, got the call, raced back to the hospital. Meanwhile, an hour and 15-minute labour, he didn't get back in time. He walked into the room. I'd done all the hard yards. He walked in and saw me on one side and our little baby boy on the other side.
Hour and 15 minutes, Alison.
Yeah.
Jeez. You push that
hard
out.
Work.
That's quick, hard Jim. Work. That is quick. Phil, stay there, Alison. Phil, Mornington Peninsula. Phil.
Filthy.
Yeah, how's it going, boys? Love the show.
Good on you. Filthy, what happened?
Yeah, missus, she'd been in the long labour, like 10 hours, and I said to the nurse, I'll just watch you while I go down the street and get a feed. But as I went down to get, I was on my way back in, yeah, she, I just caught the head coming out.
Oh, man. It always just, goes down well, too.
Just got to get a feed.
Got to get a feed. Jimmy was hungry.
Oh, it sounds like it. Ben's in Abbotsford. Benjamin?
G'day, Billy. How are you, mate?
Good, Benny boy. What happened, buddy?
That's the way. So, anyway, we've headed into the hospital. The wife is trying to be strong. We didn't want to go in too early.
Yep.
The midwife is like, oh, you can go upstairs, but perhaps, you know, if you're not ready, you might have to wait here. I'm like, okay. They take us upstairs anyway. Next thing you know, the wife's demanding to get the bags from the car. I go and get the bags from the car. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, and I haven't had a coffee yet. So I try to get a coffee.
Yep.
Credit card, rejected.
Oh, no.
Four times later, I'm like, rejected. I'm like, that's it. Can't do this again. Better go upstairs because the wife's going to be obviously going up a tree.
And what happened?
Get upstairs, open the door, baby's popped out, and basically, yeah, no midwives, you know, the wife delivered it herself.
That's it. No, you were going to get a coffee with a buggered card.
Yeah. Hey, the midwives don't like it sometimes if you're not around either. Don't they give it to you?
No, and they are magnificent. No, they're not. They're superb people, Bill. They're as good as you'll find midwives.
They actually are.
Stuart's in Melbourne. Hello, Stuart.
G'day, guys. How you doing?
Stewie.
Did you nearly miss?
Did I nearly miss? All right. I was the fitness coach for the West Coast Eagles footy club back in, for 8 years, but back in 06 when we won the flag.
Yes.
And my wife was heavily pregnant in the lead up to the game.
Yeah.
And I got a call from her that she was about to give birth just before the game. She held on, and I jumped in a cab straight from the MCG to the airport, onto the plane, and made it back to Subi Hospital just in time to see my little girl born.
That's nuts.
No, the jump in a cab, Jim.
From the Triple MCG.
Fly to Perth, and then, that's a good trip. Well done, Stewie.
I actually was born in the Subi Echo Hotel.
No, you weren't.
Hospital. Exactly.
you were conced in the Subi Echo Hotel.
I don't know where I was conceived, but I was definitely born in the Subi Echo. In fact, I think 90% of babies in Western Australia back in the day were at the Subi Hospital. It's very nice one, that one, though, Bill. That's a four-hour flight.
No, I might. So and then an hour each way. Yeah, that's 6 hours.
Yeah. Tristan in Footscray. Trest.
Hey, boys. How you going?
Good, Trest. Mate. You're on the air. Go with it.
Yeah, okay. So I'm sitting at the Coogee Bay Hotel having a few frothies with the boys.
Oh, no.
And curfew just kicked in at Sydney Airport, and the missus calls and says that her water has broke. So I've had to wait the next day for the next flight out.
Yeah.
She's having the baby up in Shepparton. So got to the airport, and a two-hour drive up to Shep, and missed it by about 5 minutes.
Oh, that would have went down well.
It was not good at all.
Coogee Bay.
Imagine, I would have stayed there.
You reckon? If you're going to be a bear, you might as well be a grizzly, you reckon, Bill?
Well, he's gone from Coogee Bay Hotel to Shepparton.
Conrad's in Mount Martha. Conrad.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good, Conrad.
Well, wife's in labour. About lunchtime, she's hungry. The nurse brings out lunch.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was mine, so I ate it.
Oh, no.
And the nurses came in, give me a ripping, and I nearly missed the birth.
Jeez. Eating
the lunch.
How could you think it's for you when the Dale's lying there, Conrad?
I did all the work.
Oh, that is you would have done nothing, old 5 seconds, Conrad.
I thought it was for me.
Oh, come on,
because that's what you do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, Bill.
Billy's joke coming up very soon. If you want to see it live, go to Facebook right now. Just search for Triple M's Rush Hour. Boys.
Oh, thank you, Leroy.
Thank you, Bill. When you said very soon, I thought you were throwing us something. Exactly. Otherwise, you can do it right now. Now, Bill.
Now, I did ask that question, Jim.
I know. Just before we get on to that, have a listen to who's on tomorrow.
Who's on tomorrow?
Kobe Stevens.
Kobe.
Midweek Rub, Jason Dunstall, Damien Barrett.
Ooh, good show.
And that's all of that's fantastic. Yeah. Dennis.
Dennis, no.
Dennis.
Armfield.
Is in.
Or Cometti.
No, Armfield.
All right.
We're looking forward to speaking to him, of course, retired star of the Blues.
Yeah,
now, go on. You asked a question earlier.
Four clubs that don't have a premiership player on their list. The four clubs we said were Port, Port Adelaide,
North Melbourne, Richmond, and
Adelaide.
Adelaide.
And that's correct, Jim. No one else has could find any. George came up with this question, by the way. He gives away the prize. He's a good man, Georgie. Mm-hmm. Very good question. Others have said off the social media, St Kilda don't. Well, we said Sean Dempster, yes, and Nathan Brown is the
premiership. From Collingwood.
Then they've said, well, what about Carlton? Daisy Thomas, of course. Freo.
Of course, Brad Hill.
And Joel Hamling.
Joel Hamling.
Yep. Then they said, what about Brisbane? Dane Beams.
Dane
and
Beamer.
Alan Christensen, yes, of course. And yes, some even said the Giants, Jim, and Atif Shaw and Stevie J, yes, and Mummy.
Yeah, they actually got a few.
So I think we stumped us. Get stuff sucked in.
There was one that said Geelong 1990. Didn't have any premiership players in the 90s.
Shut up, Leroy. You just try and get us in here smoothly. Righto.
What did that mean?
I don't know.
Oh, no.
And now, Jim.
Oh, come on, then.
We got a joke sponsor.
In the day with the laugh. This is Billy's joke. Melbourne Brick. 30% off first quality 500 by 500 Melbourne stone pavers. Offer in soon.
Very happy with myself. I love when I stump the family, Jim.
Do you?
Yes. Right. And we have. I'm saying we. Me, you and George. We're the three best friends at anyone. Here's an eclipse joke, Jim, because the eclipse, of course, happened today in the United States of America.
Yes, yes, thank you.
So I'd just like to be timely.
Oh, no. Timely. Where are we at, Bill?
What's the word, Jim, when you've got to be all on song, you know?
We have not got enough weeks left for you to straighten your act up.
Chuck Norris, Jim.
Yes.
You know who he is?
Yes.
Looked directly at the sun today, and the sun got so scared it hid behind the moon. That's how tough Chuck Norris is.
No, Bill, I wouldn't have gone with that one.
Actually,
I don't care how relevant it is.
That's a poor joke, Jake.
I don't care how relevant that joke is. But it's appalling.
It's an eclipse joke, and maybe I should have eclipsed it.
I reckon you should have.
Now, here's me fading and
joking. Oh, come on,
just
then.
Pretend I didn't go with that
no,
one.
No, well, let's pretend.
That was. See what happens when you get ahead of yourself?
Yes. You do it every day.
A lone sniper was just about to assassinate Donald Trump.
Oh,
Jim. Just at the last moment, one of the president's bodyguards spotted the sniper.
Yes.
He immediately shouted, Mickey Mouse! Mickey Mouse! Mickey Mouse! A shot rang out and Trump fell dead.
Oh, no.
As his aides all gathered around the body, one of them asked the bodyguard, why did you shout Mickey Mouse? Mickey Mouse? He said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. I meant to shout Donald Duck. Donald Duck.
Jeez.
That's not bad.
Oh, no.
Did you get it? Donald Trump.
Donald Duck. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why you needed the big pause between the Donald and the Duck. Just Donald Duck. Donald Duck would have worked better.
Donald Duck. Yeah. Donald Duck.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
Oh, no.
Oh,
Bill, you must get better delivery. Jokes and delivery, both.
What if the bear walked into the bar? He said, I'll have a bourbon.
Oh, no. You can't go with a third one, Bill.
And Coke.
No more.
Barman said, why the big pause? He said, I was born with them.
That's a third joke. You're so bad with the first two, you went with one you've told about seven times to drag yourself out of it.
He was born with the big pause.
It hit the plastic. Plastic's embarrassed.
Jim, three of the best there.
Horrendous.
Wrap them and put them under the tree. No, wrap them up.
Mickey Mouse.
Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse. Donald Duck.
Stop it.
I've got a very, very, very good topic about the family and... For the family, Jim, you idiot.
That was the Rush Hour Catch-Up.
You might be in career worst, Bill.
I think career best, Jim.
Get even more of JB and Billy by subscribing to the Rush Hour podcast on iTunes.